Okay, so let's move on to the next item. The next item we're going to talk about today is the enforcement report. We're going to take a couple items real quick, and then we'll go to the feature item for today. The enforcement report item 22 covers actions from April 1st through July 31st of this year. And I would note there are 3 completed settlements in Table 1 of the enforcement report. And we have our enforcement coordinator, Taya Tryon, here to answer questions, if there are any.
One question that I have, which ties to enforcement, is what's the status of the erosion which took place and that was in your capable hands, strawberry fields, last winter storms, Elkhorn Slough?
So I'm actually going to defer to Harvey Packard on this. Harvey is the section manager over the irrigated lands program, which Chris Rose directs.
Okay.
Good morning, Harvey Packard. So we've been working, our ag program staff have been working with county staff and few of the other stakeholders up there, including the Elkhorn Slough Foundation, to follow up on that. The county code enforcement has been working with the farmers in question. We sent NOVs to 2 farms that had erosion problems last winter, and they say they're working on that. They owe us some information and reports, which we'll be following up on. I don't know if we want to get into, well, I don't think we can get into details about the violations or our response to them at this time, because there potentially could be enforcement actions coming on that. But if you need more information than that, Chair Wolf.
So I'll point to Table 5, the last 2 entries, which is on page 5 of your enforcement report. The last 2 entries there on Table 5 reflect the NOVs or notices of violation sent to those 2 entities.
My input or observation would be that, this was brought up to us by, some local citizens. Today, I think, is the first day of fall, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what that triggers is that the rainy season is upon us. So if we do wait for feedback, we're going to find ourselves in the next rainy season. And so my question is, there's been a year going by, basically, and if there are issues, remediation that needs to take place to prevent this from happening again, and not just, all exclusively the mitigation, what has taken place, what is being done now to prevent a reoccurrence potentially in the next couple of months when, the weather pattern is already changing. That has been indicated by the meteorologist.
So you're saying, what are these 2 farms specifically doing?
Right, there's two aspects. You have one, okay, this, you have done XYZ damage, you need to fix it and repair it. Mm-hmm. You have also done some environmental damage, and we're going to have you do XYZ, which may be, monetary penalties or mitigation. But beyond that, obviously that particular location and farm was very susceptible to erosion, because of the type of soil and the slope. So what is being done now so that as winter is upon us, we don't have a repeat? I guess that's simply what I'm
right. Asking. Well, there's a couple of difficulties that we're running into on both of those fronts. For one thing, taking enforcement action is a little bit difficult here. Normally, in the case of a discharge to water in the United States, we'd immediately go to enforcement under the Federal Clean Water Act. It's not complicated because it's an ag discharge, which is exempt from the Clean Water Act. It's also complicated by the fact that it's unclear exactly how our ag order regulates these kinds of discharges. You know, they're enrolled in the ag order, which authorizes discharges, which are supposed to be subject to conditions of the waiver. The ag waiver is not very specific or strong about, especially tier one and tier two enrollees on erosion control. They're supposed to have a farm plan. They're supposed to control discharges and not cause exceedances to water quality objectives. So what we can do and what the order allows us to do is to follow up with them and say, what does your farm plan say about erosion control? And if it's not adequate, we can ask them to improve their practices. And so that's the process that we're in with them.
So, Harvey, the lead agency is for counties, like
Monterey County.
Correct. Okay. So there's working jointly and collaboratively between, you know, our board and the county. Does the county has, you know, many counties do have a ordinance on slopes, maximum slopes, including farming on certain slopes and erosion control on those slopes. So has the county explored what their authority would be?
I don't believe they have an ordinance that gives them enough authority to do much about it in this case. There have been strawberries being farmed on those slopes in the Elkhorn area for a long time and causing problems for a long time. These aren't the only two farms. I think this is a good example of something the board can think about for the next ag order. Is our order strong enough to control these types of discharges? For instance, what is best practical control for strawberries on sand on a hillside? I think that's a fair discussion that maybe we need to have for the next order.
Can I add to that? So as Harvey pointed out, the current ag order is limited and it limits us in our ability to take enforcement action for a case like this. And to your point, Mr. Wolf, of what are we going to do in the future or what are the growers going to do in the future to prevent this from happening again, if we wanted to take action now, we would have to use a different mechanism other than the ag order. So one of the things that we've discussed is the possibility of a cleanup and abatement order with adequate requirements to deal with the problem beyond the ag order. So that's something we're considering.
So I just have a question. So is there any way to coordinate with county? Because it's ultimately a land use issue and a land use permitting issue.
We are coordinating with the county. It's somewhat complicated because if we take an action, we may include the county. We may be naming the county. So it's something that we have to consider is that who are the responsible parties in the case. But as Harvey pointed out, that these lands in this area and these steep slopes have been farmed for decades, and it's an issue that comes up every time there are significant rains.
Well, that's sort of the point, is if it's an ongoing issue, we need to have some sort of a, you know, solution that provides everybody in that solution.
So we have, over the years, talked to the county. We had I was in our internal discussion, I brought up that approximately 25 years ago, we had a board member who was from that area, and he was very concerned about this, and he said the county should have an ordinance dealing with growing strawberries or other crops on very steep slopes and having so much bare soil. That problem has actually, and we did talk to the county about taking action and putting in an ordinance, and it went nowhere. And there was no support for it. So the problem's actually gotten worse because the farming practices have changed. There's now different kinds of berries being grown where they're using plastic, and it creates an impervious surface over many acres, and that results in torrential runoff and erosion. So the problem is actually getting worse. So we'll continue to talk to the county and encourage them and look at our options for doing more than just talking to the county. So we'll look at that. It, as you can imagine, it's a controversial issue, and there are many different stakeholders involved and perspectives and influence. So as far as the immediate problem, though, that Mr. Wolf was talking about, our consideration internally is what kind of action to take and what other tools to use, such as a cleanup or abatement order. And if the board and the executive officer feel that this is a priority for us to pursue, then we will pursue it. I want to emphasize that it's the enforcement team doesn't drive. That's why we deferred this to Harvey rather than Taya, because the enforcement team should not be driving the bus. The board and the executive officer should be driving and directing the enforcement team what to do.
Okay, so next, I believe, Mike, you have a question?
Yeah, this is interesting because I've long seen this as a way that we can potentially really partner with the counties, where when they have an event like this, which of course hugely impacted them because they had to bear the cost of fixing the road, the county did, or at least a chunk of it. You know, my understanding was that you know, the county could red tag or whatever, but the county couldn't really, you know, come up with civil liability, and that we could. And it sounds like it's not so simple. So, I would definitely like to hear back on this because, you know, I think long-term, if we have the ability to do meaningful enforcement when stuff like this happens, meaningful after-the-fact enforcement, that's a real potential way for us to cooperate with the counties in a way that benefits them rather than us just being one more hoop that the county has to jump through. So, yeah, I would like to hear back as we work through this.
It just occurred to me when you talked about plastic going over the surface and preventing, well, essentially diverting the flow of surface water is what that does. That under concepts of civil nuisance law, that's illegal. I mean, if you are going to divert the natural flow of surface water, and it comes off your property and cause damage elsewhere, the law is there just to be enforced. And the county could do it. Certainly, normally it's the property owner who is suffering the damage. Mm-hmm. So in this situation, is it the National Estuary Program? I mean, is it the federal government who's suffering the damage?
The county, and then ultimately the SLU
that
received all that sediment.
Yeah. The county is receiving?
Well, the county was damaged. The road that was owned by the county was severely damaged. It's unclear what role and responsibility the county itself has in the situation, as Michael was alluding to, because of its design of the drainage and of the road and some of the other things there.
Okay, so I didn't hear you very clearly, Harvey, because your voice is kind of trailing off for me. The county put in a road?
The county, yeah, the erosion took out the road, and I believe it's still closed.
Okay, so the damage is to the county's road.
Right.
The county? And to the SLU. So who owns the SLU?
I believe that's federal land.
That's state and federal protections. So, yes. So the issue that you're bringing up, Mr. Young, is not limited to this area,
right,
and the nuisance problem is not limited to this area. So we're finding it in different areas around our region, associated in an enhanced way because of the plastics that are being used in the impervious surface. And neighboring landowners, private and municipalities, are investigating that very legal issue. And so one of the challenges for us as staff when we're talking to the board about an issue like this is to protect the board's ability to hear a case that may eventually end up in front of you. So when we're talking to you about this, if we seem guarded or limited in what we're saying, that's why. It's from the perspective of and in the context of limiting what we say and how far we go down the path of talking about the specifics of any case so that you are protected in being able to consider that case in the future.
Okay, and my comment is simply a comment for you guys, for staff to consider, that there is established nuisance law that I believe
you can look into that yourselves, that can be invoked when surface water is being diverted from its natural flow and it's causing damage off the property.
Agreed, and okay. we are doing that.
Okay.
In multiple cases.
Yeah, and I could fully understand it occurs all over the place, which it does.
Yeah.
Not just with ag, but with many different kinds of land use practices.
Yes. And another comment is that I appreciate Mr. Johnson's request to bring this item back or to hear more about this item. And I wanted to point out the difference between a board member comment and direction from the board. So, again, the enforcement team would take action based on direction from the board or direction from the executive officer. So if it's the board's intent or the executive officer's intent for us to pursue this, then we will, if you give us that direction.
But just, and I know that Dr. Hunter has a question, but we gave direction the last time this was brought up to come back to us. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we were a little too eager to get into the weeds, to look at pictures, and our friendly Jessica reminded us, no, you can't do that because this may come back to us. But, you know, we have requested, you know, for this item to come back.
So I want to add to that that I live with the same restrictions that the board does. If I want to stay as your advisor, it gets easier to challenge the more I know about potential enforcement details. At the same time, I have a responsibility to direct the enforcement team just like any other piece within the water board staff. And so there's this unresolvable tension that exists of how much information and weighing the value of the information versus the role advising this board in potential enforcement actions. So I'm going to say that we can't, if the board directs, we can come back to you and provide you more information at some risk and with some hesitation, such that we preserve the board's ability to have a future enforcement action here too, and my ability to advise the board on those enforcement actions. So I heard a suggestion to come back to the board, but I'm just expressing the limitations of communication on two different fronts. We may be, staff may not be as forthcoming to preserve the enforcement action, and it may not be as satisfying.
So Dr. Hunter had a question or a comment next, then after that, Mr. Johnson, and then after that, Mayor Delgado.
Okay, so for order here, I have a comment on this issue, and then I have two questions on other items. So if we're continuing on this issue, I'll hold off on my other two questions. But Michael, you mentioned that staff is looking at possible options outside the ag order. And I'm also wondering if you're looking at other agencies, because I believe that Department of Water Resources has a sediment control management working group or committee and or division that is also has long-standing policies and may have some additional tools for us to look at a chronic issue in Monterey County. And so not specific to this particular situation, is DWR at the table, and or have they also walked away from a county that has been unresponsive to this issue? Because clearly to solve this problem requires that Monterey County reconsider the long-standing practice of farming in these really steep slope areas with highly erodible soils. So that would be another question I have as to what other agencies beyond the county may be involved. And I haven't looked at the sediment control program under DWR. I'm just aware of it. It's maybe another thing to look into to see if we can bring more extended look and to Mr. Young's comments that there may be some other regulations that would apply to this in terms of enforcement?
If the enforcement team is directed to take enforcement action, yes, we would research other agencies and their authorities and try to bring them into the picture if it would help advance the enforcement action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, DWR is one of those, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Johnson?
Yes, just to be clear, when I said that I would like to understand this better as it developed, what I was referring to was the general question which Mr. Thomas raised of how we are able to respond with enforcement to erosion stemming from agriculture, which is generally exempt from the Clean Water Act, whether that's in the case of Elkhorn Slough or something else in Watsonville or something in Santa Maria, hilly land, flat land, hoop houses. You're correct in raising that there's a lot of different situations that can come up in. And I'm interested in that overall question, and I understand that potentially, depending on what council says, we may have to hold off on hearing more about that overall question until you have wandered through the weeds of this particular case. But that was what I was directing myself to, not the particular case, but the overall question, which I think is a really important one for us and bears on our ability to develop better working relations with the counties.
Mayor Delgado?
Yes, just to continue or wrap up my thoughts on this issue, I recall yesterday reviewing the scoping comments from the recent listening workshops for Ag Order 4.0, and a couple of those lines of missing issues related to erosion. We passed over them very quickly yesterday because I think we were toward the end, and we hadn't had this on our front of our minds. So I just want to note that this is kind of lobbying the hopper, and this is just an example of whoever made those comments being correct, that they were missed in Ag Order 1.0 through 3.0, as our assistant executive officer just described. The only other thing I want to say is thank you, Fatea, for these well-organized enforcement reports. I actually enjoy looking at them because I can digest them easier than in the past. Thanks.
Well, you can enjoy them because the city of Marina is not listed.
That's right.
So thank you, Harvey, and to recap, my initial inquiry was assuring to some extent that as the winter comes upon us,
okay,
we
thank
don't
you.
Have a repeat.
So lacking any further specific direction, we'll continue to work as the Ag program on iteratively trying to improve practices at these farms.
I'm looking on my right for
I just have a question on another table 5 issue or
we're gonna wrap this up. Are we good with this item?
Yes.
Left, right?
So before we go there, I'll just say that we're still weighing options, too. We are definitely proceeding through the irrigated lands regulatory program and considering additional options here.
Well, I would say that for me, that's not enough kind of direction. I would like to know that maybe staff reports back to us at some point so we can mm-hmm. kind of keep our finger on this. Seems to be a kind of a bigger problem, mm-hmm. And we've had recalcitrants from at least Monterey County, maybe Santa Cruz County, I don't know. So I'd like to know that staff is developing kind of an approach. It may include how it implements 4.0, but maybe there's other tools to be used and other agencies to be drawn into this so we can kind of move this towards some kind of more comprehensive resolution. To it. So
right, okay.
Sure, I'd like us to see something
come back where we're just not letting this drift off, and we may see it and we may not.
No, I was speaking.
The overall strategy.
Right. I was speaking.
Staff can do what it wants with this, you know, so that we're not tying ourselves to it, but it's the overall problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I was speaking to the lower order thing of this specific case.
Okay.
When I was talking about going forward with the irrigated lands program and considering other options, not to the larger issue here, you know, that is across the region.
Well, to the larger issue, I'd like to see something come back to
right.
to make sure that we're getting our hands around it.
Right.
Got it.
Okay. Well, to the specific issue, I would like to see some enforcement, because this particular area, many farmers, many growers probably have been involved in a ongoing problem for many years. I don't know that it's resulted in this much damage, but I know that the parties that are impacted by what's recently happened, if they were here today, they would probably wish for us to find out if anybody is culpable. And so I think with the county not being very active, it seems we're the only line of defense to investigate whether there's any responsible or culpable parties. It may or not be, but I would like this board to proceed with enforcement as appropriate.
Well, Jessica, you want to weigh in on this?
Only to see if there was a kind of consensus on the board on that issue.
I might, you know, because of the vagaries, we're saying, why are we kind of keeping the carts close to the vest? You know, I can't quite guess on what's going on the other side of enforcement. But my understanding is that, you know, you're not falling the tent here. You know, you're still pursuing all available options. You're just not telling us for good reason what options are. But if what you're saying is, hey, you know, we are still actively working on this, we're not just closing it, we're not, you know, folding and capitulating, that's one thing. But I feel also, and maybe sometime I'm the first to admit that I can be a bit of an impatient nature. You know, I see time going by, and I come from the private sector, and I'm like, what are we waiting for here? I mean, we've had months to deal with this. So there's a little bit of that trepidation in me, you know, saying, okay, we're already now coming with the next winter, so where are we?
Mr. Chair, how about a staff report back to us, you know, as soon as they can, when they've kind of made some kind of a decision on how they're going to resolve this.
Well,
just
maybe
kind of give us a status report on it. So,
and maybe one way to kind of accelerate the process is say, okay, next board meeting, give us an update, and that may prompt maybe a little more, you know, vigorous follow-up.
Is there a downside in terms of potentially, if it goes to enforcement and comes before us, to us having given that direction?
Right now, you can say that you believe that it's a higher enforcement priority without compromising any future action.
So that kind of follows without my suggestion.
And let me just add to that. I don't know that enforcement is necessary. You
right.
Just tell us how you're going to get this resolved. That's really what this is.
But you can say that this sort of thing is a higher enforcement priority for you depending on the circumstance.
Correct. So we want to get it resolved, and let us know how you're going to do it.
All right.
So do you have the consensus that you're...
Yeah, I seem to be seeing a lot of nodding heads, so I think we have general board consensus there.
Okay, so that's the direction requested from the board. Okay. Tia.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Taya. I have a question on table four and a question on table five. And I know this report covers January through May. So the first question I have on table four,
sorry to interrupt. It's Taya Tron. April 1st through July 31st is what those tables cover.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's the very last section. That's the different date range.
Okay, good. Okay, that's good clarification on that. So in table four, we seem to have some concentrated problems going on in Santa Cruz County and San Luis Obispo County. I just wondered what your comment is on why so many things happening in those two locations.
So table four represents stormwater program issued notices of non-compliance. They go through their database. They determine who has either did not submit an annual report on time or who did not recertify. And so that's the list that you see. I don't know what the issue is, why there's one in Santa Barbara, there's several in Santa Cruz, several in San Luis Obispo.
Yeah, that's it. And I was just curious, is this just related to filing their annual
reports and recertification.
Okay. All right. I that helps. I was wondering if perhaps because of increased construction over the summer that we have some of these are all private operators, I noted. So I was wanting to make sure that this wasn't related to actual work that's underway.
Yes, these are just a scan of the database to see who has reported, who hasn't reported, and they send out these letters, or form letters.
And then they can continue to do business and accept contracts and without their renewal permit.
Right. They the notice of noncompliance explains to them that they're either late or they need to enroll, and so they face enforcement. A potential for enforcement.
Okay. And right now they're at the status of letters?
Yes.
Is there anything further that happens if they don't comply? Is there an assumption they're not operating any longer, or what happens after that?
So there's two letters that go out, a first notice of noncompliance and a second. If after 60 days after the second has been issued, there still is no response, then it comes to the enforcement unit, and the program lets us know whether they want us to take enforcement on them or not. They'll come to us, and then we prioritize those cases relative to all the other cases we have.
Is there a point at which a phone call or a site visit to the company is made to...
The stormwater staff call and try to work with them. As far as I can tell, that's more of a program question.
Okay, got that. Okay, and the other question I have on table five. What's it, table five? I'm looking at Cambria.
Mm-hmm.
Deficient reporting. Right. Is that what the occurrence that we were already dealing with, or is this...
This is a great example how you have a certain date range for your enforcement items.
Mm-hmm.
We always start with a notice of violation.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it can escalate to whatever enforcement action we take. So these two notices, the first one, the deficient reporting, deficient monitoring, that actually turned into the administrative civil liability complaint that you heard at the last board meeting.
Okay. And then the second one?
The second one was for not reporting groundwater, all the constituents of concern in the groundwater. And we mentioned that in our July meeting. And that we have not taken enforcement on that to date. But that was the NOV that was issued actually the day before the board meeting.
Okay. And so how is that interaction going? Has that improved with Canberra? Because I know we had some problems with the local kind of perspective on what our authority is and how much and input from the community and their concerns. And I know there were discussions along the lines of what our actual authority is over the CSD. So do you feel like we've made progress there? Has Cambria got a better understanding of what our role is and so, what their responsibilities are?
Sorry to interrupt there.
That's okay.
I'm going to ask Harvey to step in. Harvey has participated in subsequent meetings with Cambria CSD. I participated in one following my return,
mm-hmm.
and then Harvey's participated in several. And,
mm-hmm.
and the gist of this is we're looking specific to the Title 27 pond,
mm-hmm.
how to accelerate their timeline to get out of that pond. Because
mm-hmm.
that's
right.
the water quality risk
right.
is posed by longer time spent trying to operate that pond.
Yeah.
And that's the highest priority, water quality risk.
And I apologize, because I, as you know, I missed the July meeting, so some of my questions may be because I didn't hear the full.
You're playing catch up a little here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but just to understand, where are we with our, are we in a better space with our interaction with our Cambria CSD folks?
Hi, this is Harvey Packard. Our interactions are fine. I don't know if that's ever been a problem. Whether they're capable of improving their actions out there, that remains to be seen. So we've given them clear direction. They're working on plans. We'll be reviewing them. We've stressed the need to make sure they don't have any run-on into the pond this year. They're working on that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also working on a plan to draw the pond down and empty it. So
okay.
that's where we are. How much confidence we have in their ability to do that, I'm not overly confident, but hopefully it'll make some progress.
Yeah, what I was referring to specifically, and maybe I have this, maybe I misinterpreted it, I understood that there was, at the Cambria CSD, there was some direction made in public that the community should not be voicing their concerns to the Water Board, and that we needed to clarify with the CSD leadership that, yes, indeed, the community residents can bring problems to our attention. That signaled to me that they were, in some fashion, trying to minimize our authority or our ability to understand, you know, what people's real, on-the-ground sense of what the problem is. And the CSD kind of not taking full responsibility for the problems that were going on. So that's why I asked about the relationship. Is it in better, more positive tone?
Mention the letter.
Yeah, I was just going to go there. So comments were made at a Cambria CSD meeting by members of the CSD staff. The assistant executive officer issued a letter. Michael Thomas issued a letter clarifying that no restriction should be placed on communication with the regional board. I spoke with staff. Staff indicated we have never expressed any such concern or disincentive to communication by the public.
Mm-hmm.
And so we also felt we needed to make a public, clear stand on that, hence the letter that we sent to the CSD. It's my understanding that Jerry Gruber, the director, has since spoken and recanted, and perhaps Harvey can add to that. I don't know if he has anything to add to that, but I think we've resolved that issue and made our point with them and publicly.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you.
All right, so on my left, any more question? On my right?
No, my question was answered. It was related to Cambria, and just a follow-up on that, because, again, we're coming up on another rainy season, so.
Yep. Plus, every year that pond stays there, there's $100,000 of liability insurance fee that is being paid by the district. Okay, so on that note, thank you very much, Kaya. Appreciate your patience also.
since that was an item scheduled for yesterday. So thank you for staying over to allow us to ask questions.